are mortgage interest rates determined? Introduction. The lending process. A mortgage is a loan used to buy a home or any form of real estate. The loan is paid back over time, and the home or real estate serves as collateral for that mortgage loan. If the borrower fails to pay back the loan or defaults on payments, the lender has the right to repossess the home or property. There are a variety of loan products that are available to borrowers. It's important that the buyer choose a loan product that aligns with their financial situation. To do otherwise could lead to defaults on the mortgage payments and, ultimately, a loss of the real estate purchase. A borrower works with mortgage bankers, who are lenders that originate, process, underwrite, and close mortgages, typically using their own funds. Mortgage bankers primarily make money on the fees associated with the origination of the mortgage loan. They might retain the mortgage or sell it to another investor. There may also be mortgage brokers who are intermediary parties that bring together borrowers and lenders. Mortgage brokers originate and process loans only. The broker typically has experience aligning mortgage loan products and programs to a borrower's finances and needs. The broker makes a commission on the transaction at closing, paid by either the lender, the borrower, or both. Factors impacting mortgage interest rates. Market factors impacting mortgage interest rates. Mortgage interest rates are affected by many factors. Some of the main factors are the current economy, inflation, and the Federal Reserve policies. Other factors include the performance of financial markets, government policies, and global and/or political events. Select the arrows to navigate between each market factor that affects mortgage rates. 1. The economy. When the economy is booming, mortgage rates tend to rise. Think about it this way. When aspiring homeowners and families feel financially secure and flush with cash, they feel more comfortable shopping for a new home. In a booming economy, there will be lots of others like them looking to spend. If everybody wants to buy a home, there is plenty of demand, not just for homes themselves, but for home loans too. When lenders see robust demand like that, they know they can make more money by charging their customers higher rates. By that same token, if the threat of recession is looming and unemployment is rising, mortgage rates tend to fall. 2. Inflation. As inflation rises, mortgage rates tend to rise too. Recall that inflation means that each dollar does not buy as much as it once did. When inflation increases, it feels like everything gets more expensive. In the first part of 2022, inflation increased rapidly. At that time, mortgage rates shot up too. More recently, the Federal Reserve has raised its rates to try to stop the growth of inflation. Inflation did slow, but mortgage rates went up too. 3. The Federal Reserve. The actions of the Federal Reserve, also known as the Fed, can affect what buyers pay for their homes. Not because the Fed controls mortgage rates, they do not. However, just as consumer banks set the rates on their mortgage loans, the Fed controls the interest rates that banks charge each other for short-term loans. When that rate goes up, it is harder for banks to loan each other money. And when it is harder for banks to access money, they, in turn, raise the rates on their mortgages. Personal factor impacting mortgage interest rates. As we just saw, there are large factors outside of a borrower's control that affect the interest rate for a mortgage. However, each individual mortgage rate can also be affected by personal factors that are unique to that borrower. When lenders decide whether and how much to lend, they consider a wealth of information that helps them decide. How likely is that customer to be able to make their monthly payments for the next several decades? What kind of return can the lender expect on their loan? In short, how risky is their investment? To answer these questions, most financial institutions will closely examine a buyer's credit score and loan-to-value ratio. Select the arrows to navigate between each personal factor that affects mortgage rates. 1. Credit score. Overall, higher credit scores are inversely correlated with mortgage rates. That means that the higher the credit score, the lower the mortgage rate tends to be, and vice versa. A buyer with a lower credit score can expect to pay a higher rate. Some lenders even have minimum credit score requirements and may deny a potential buyer's loan application below a certain threshold. Because a person's credit score is based on their past credit history, it is seen as a reflection of how likely that person is to repay their loan. At the moment, this score is probably the most crucial criterion determining their creditworthiness. 2. Loan-to-value, LTV ratio. A lower LTV could be a factor in a lower mortgage rate. The LTV is a function of the property's price compared to the loan amount the borrower took out. Typically, a larger down payment means a smaller LTV, while a smaller down payment would mean a larger LTV. Other personal factors considered. Although the borrower's credit score and the loan-to-value ratio may be the two most important data points a lender considers, they may not be the only information considered. Other considerations could include things like 3. Debt-to-income, DTI, ratio. As renters will recognize, many apartments require proof of income that is at least 3 times the monthly rent. This is the apartment's way of ensuring the renter can afford the rent payments. In the same way, lenders measure the borrower's income against the size of the loan to determine how risky that loan will be. 4. Loan amount. Lenders make more money on larger loans. Because larger loans are more profitable for the lender, they can afford to offer a lower rate on them. Conversely, a lender may charge a higher rate on a smaller loan to recoup the costs of holding and managing that less profitable loan. 5. Closing costs and discount points. Closing costs, including any discount points and fees for appraisals, surveys, title searches, and title insurance. Some lenders who offer no closing cost mortgages simply roll these costs into the balance of the loan itself or charge the borrower a higher interest rate instead. 6. Down payments. The larger the down payment the borrower makes on a home, the smaller the size of the loan they need to take out to buy the property. Since smaller loans are seen as less risky by the lender, they may feel more comfortable charging a lower interest rate on the loan. 7. Loan term, type and rates. The interest rate available on any given loan depends on the type of loan. The best rates are usually reserved for purchasing a home, while the highest rates are associated with cash-out refinancing. Some programs can help first-time home buyers get still lower rates. And as always, the credit scores and LTVs of individual buyers can affect their rates. Aside from the popular fixed-rate mortgage, alternatives such as 3, 5, and 7-year adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs, may offer interest rates as much as 0.5% lower. In addition, lenders see loans like FHA, VA, and USDA loans as less risky since they are backed by the government. Because of this, rates on these mortgages are often lower, not to mention the savings to the borrower on PMI. A history of mortgages. Mortgage rates from 1971 to today. The current mortgage rate is a main consideration for home buyers seeking to purchase a home by taking out a loan. The rate a home buyer is able to get has a major impact on the amount of the monthly payment the buyer can afford. Since 1980, average mortgage rates for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage have hit a high of 18.3%, during a period of runaway inflation in 1981 and a low of 2.6% in 2020, in the early days of the COVID pandemic. In mid-July 2023, the average national rate was 7.2%, the lowest historical mortgage rate ever for 30-year fixed-rate mortgages was in January 2021. This was due largely to the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to Freddie Mac, mortgage rates sank to an all-time low of 2.65%. Mortgage rates stayed low all year, with an average rate of 2.96% in 2021. The highest mortgage rate in history was in October 1981. 30-year fixed mortgage rates hit their historical peak at 18.63%. That same year brought about the highest average 30-year rate at 16.64%. Record inflation caused by the OPEC oil embargo was the cause. The chart shown below is courtesy of Freddie Mac, which began tracking 30-year fixed rate mortgages in April 1971. A brief history of the mortgage market. The 1930s, the Great Depression and the start of the modern mortgage market. Before the Great Depression, home mortgages looked a lot different. Most were only 5 to 10 year amortized loans and only accounted for about 50% of the value of the home or property, which meant that to buy a home, at least a 50% down payment was required, making it difficult, if not impossible, for the average citizen to buy a home. The principal on the home was due at the very end of the loan in one installment, or what's called a balloon payment. When the financial markets crashed and the Great Depression followed, the value of housing plummeted as well. People were defaulting on their balloon payments, and upwards of 1,000 people a day were losing their homes. In an effort to lift the country out of the depression, the Roosevelt administration, as part of the New Deal era of the 1930s, made a number of changes to the mortgage system that set the stage for the mortgage market of today. Among the changes were the establishment of a number of federal agencies that would help stabilize and oversee this market, as well as make home mortgages more accessible to the average citizen. Many of these agencies are still integral to the home lending and buying process today. The agencies established during this time, in sum, created a federal infrastructure that ultimately made the home buying process more affordable. These agencies include Federal Home Loan Bank, FHLB, 1932. The FHLB is a consortium of regional banks that still exist today to provide a secure stream of money to lend to potential home buyers. Federal Deposit Insurance Company, FDIC, 1933. The FDIC insures deposits in US banks so long as they are FDIC approved. Federal Housing Administration, FHA, 1934. The FHA provides loans to tens of thousands of home buyers every year, often first-time buyers. Federal National Mortgage Association, FNMEA, 1938. Better known today as Fannie Mae. This agency buys and guarantees mortgages on the secondary market, and this guarantee helps lower-income home buyers secure loans they might not otherwise get. The 1940s and 50s, post-World War II and the housing boom. In the wake of World War II, and in an effort to secure home ownership for soldiers returning back to the United States, Fannie Mae and the FHA, along with the Veterans Administration, created a number of policies as part of the GI Bill that compelled dramatic increases in home ownership throughout the United States. Some of the most dramatic changes were Bullitt. The Veterans Administration began offering low interest rates to veterans with no down payment. Bullitt, a mortgage loan, interest was made deductible from federal income taxes. And Bullitt, the FHA introduced the 30-year mortgage. These changes, along with a building frenzy that created the modern-day suburbs of today, drove home ownership up from 43% in 1940 to 62% by 1960. The 1960s and 70s, Civil Rights and the Fair Housing Act. In subsequent decades, the federal government continues to be involved in the promotion of mortgage lending and home ownership. Following the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Congress passed the Civil Rights Act of 1968, which included Title VIII, now commonly known as the Fair Housing Act. The Fair Housing Act prohibited discrimination in housing based on race, color, religion, or national origin. An amendment to the Fair Housing Act was enacted in 1974 that prohibited discrimination based on gender. This, along with the Supreme Court's decision in Jones v. Mayer, which held that the Civil Rights Act of 1866 applied to acts of individual discrimination, was the beginning of a comprehensive body of fair housing laws in the United States. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, AHUD, was created to oversee and enforce the fair housing laws. A primary part of its mission was to help support home ownership of lower income and often underrepresented groups through its mortgage insurance program. The establishment of the Fair Housing Act and HUD was also an attempt to remedy the systemic discrimination confronted by people of color in previous decades, including the process of being denied the opportunity to buy a home in certain neighborhoods, as well as being denied mortgage loans based on the color of their skin. By 1970, home ownership had reached 64% in the United States. The percentage of home ownership has remained roughly in this range ever since, with the only exception being the housing bubble of the early 2000s that set off the Great Recession in 2008. The 1980s and 90s, increasing mortgage options, volatility, and debt. By the 1980s, home ownership has become a foundational part of American culture. Home ownership becomes not only a social status symbol for achieving a middle-class lifestyle, but also the biggest financial investment the average American would make. To help make home buying both more accessible for some and also more lucrative for lenders, the adjustable home mortgage, ARM, becomes popular. As opposed to the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage that had become the standard, the ARM had a variable rate that would change during the life of the loan. By the end of the 1980s, ARMs comprised nearly 60% of the mortgage market. At the same time, the savings and loan, S&Ls, banking industry, represented about half of all mortgages in the United States at the time, experienced a combination of corruption and turbulence that created volatility throughout the financial sector. A series of deregulatory steps allowed S&Ls to make riskier real estate investments that ultimately ended with massive taxpayer bailouts, a foreshadowing of what was to come in the early 2000s with the subprime housing mortgage crisis. In 1989, the Financial Institutions Reform, Recovery and Enforcement Act was passed, which restructured federal housing agencies, abolishing the FSLIC and giving broader control to the FDIC. Finally, throughout this time period, mortgage debt continues to grow for the average American. In 1949, mortgage debt to household income was approximately 20%. That percentage more than doubled by 1979, reaching 46% of household income. By 2001, mortgage debt to income had increased to 73%. This dramatic increase sets the stage for the housing bubble of the early 2000s. The 2000s and 2010s, the housing crisis and its aftermath. Historically, the debt-to-income, DTI ratio that was acceptable to most mortgage lenders was about 36% for a prospective home buyer. The ceiling for DTI would be in the low 40% range, but by the turn of the century, it seemed that no amount of debt was prohibitive to receive a mortgage. As housing prices increased, standards for lending became increasingly lax, giving way to a proliferation of subprime mortgages. Subprime mortgages are high-interest loans offered to prospective homebuyers who have lower or poor credit scores and are therefore deemed high risk. Standards for subprime loans declined even lower than what had previously been acceptable, leading to what became known as NINA loans, an acronym for No Income, No Assets. In addition to that, many of these loans were offered with no down payment required and allowed for interest-only payments, which would lower the monthly payment for the borrower, but simultaneously not allow them to pay down the debt. Loosened regulations also allowed for the proliferation and abuse of stated income loans, in which a borrower could declare income and be approved for a loan without verification from the lender. These types of loans were banned for owner-occupied mortgage loans. In 2010, with the passage of the Dodd-Frank Act, seeking ways to diffuse the risk for such high-risk loans, lenders were able to package these subprime loans in mortgage-backed securities and resell them, often to banks. So long as the prices of housing continued to escalate, as it had been in the late 1990s and early 2000s, there was little risk. But housing prices did not continue to increase. By 2006, housing prices started to fall, and the price of housing in many markets throughout the country fell below what borrowers had initially paid for them. Foreclosures started to increase, and subprime securities banks had purchased decreased in value as well. By 2008, the entire financial system was in turmoil, leading to what's known as the Great Recession. During the crisis, approximately 8 million homes went into foreclosure. The aftermath of this crisis resulted in far stricter lending standards for home mortgages and increased consumer protections. The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act was passed as a result in 2010. Some of the results of this legislation are shown in the table below. Key accomplishments of the Dodd-Frank Act include bullet high-risk loans were all but banned, bullet mandatory consumer disclosures, bullet employment and debt levels became mandatory. Bullet lenders had to be fully transparent with all costs associated with the loan. Bullet lenders had to verify a borrower's ability to repay the loan. Bullet introduced qualified mortgages to reduce the issuing of risky mortgages and protect both the borrower and lender. The aftermath of the Great Recession. Ultimately, lending and borrowing standards became much stricter, making it more difficult to get a mortgage, even if the borrower was in good financial standing. During the lead-up to the housing bubble, the home ownership rate reached historic highs of nearly 70%. The rate fell precipitously in the years that followed back down to its historic norms. It reached a low in 2016 of 63%, and has been on the increase again ever since.